Welcome to the Miko Peled Hour. I am your host, Miko Peled. It's good to be back with everyone again. My guest today is an old friend from Palestine, from Aida refugee camp near Bethlehem. Many people who have been involved in Palestine and visited, and many of the activists know Munder Amir. Everybody that knows him respects and loves him dearly. And he, about a week ago, he was released from prison. One more, one in many, many, many times that he's been arrested with no charges whatsoever in what they call administrative detention. Every time he and many of our other friends are detained, of course, we always worry because we know that the conditions in the Israeli prisons, the conditions for Palestinian prisoners are horrifying. After October the 7th, the situation has been far worse than it's ever been before. And a few days ago, Munder sent a message with a statement, and I'm going to re read a part of the statement, and then I think it's a good opening. And you write, and this is not the very beginning, but this is down after a little bit. You say, "My personal ordeal, characterized by severe mistreatment, deprivation of medical care, and exposure to torture and sexual violence, mirrors the unfathomable suffering of many. These prisons, akin to graveyards for the living, stand as stark symbols of a settler colonial regime that seeks to erase our identity, our dignity, and our very existence. The draconian measures imposed upon us, ranging from the freedoms I'm sorry, ranging from denial of familial and legal connections to the restriction of basic human necessities and freedoms, underscore a systematic campaign to dehumanize and demoralize." And the title of the statement that you made, that you wrote, is called, the title is "From the Cemetery of the Living: Plea for the Rights of Palestinian Detainees." Statement by the freed Palestinian detainee, Munder Amira. So, Munder, like, it's always good to see you, although these are terrible conditions and terrible situations, and thank you for your time. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Yani first of all, thank you for inviting me for this place, telling about our story as Palestinians, as Palestinian detainees, as Palestinian prisoners who are suffering a lot there in the cemeteries. It's before we used to tell the people in like romantic way about the Palestinian prisoners, like they are living in cemeteries. It was like part of the story, like symbolic thing. But what happened after the 7th of October, it was a real thing that they convert the prisons into cemeteries. That we, the only thing that we are waiting for is to be killed in that place. If not, you are running to be crazy, because how they are dealing with us, how they are torturing us, how they are humiliating us. When I'm trying to forget it, but I am feeling very, very heavy responsibility to tell the people what is happening there. It's a place that you could not think about one, just two things you will think. If about the grave, that you are going to the grave, you are going to be killed, or to be a crazy, to lose your mind. This is what they are sending us for.
Now, I'm sorry, you were detained about 3 months ago
Yeah.
in Aida. Where were you? What were the
I was in my
describe?
home. Maybe this is the start of my journey. This very sad journey. How they attack the house, attacking my children. One of my children was wearing a t-shirt with the Palestine shape, telling Palestine. So they start cutting with a knife, cutting his t-shirt.
The soldiers.
Because, yeah, the soldiers, they handcuffed him. I'm speaking about 13 years old. They attack my brother, throwing him into the yard there with handcuff. The other, Ghassan, even my son, the other son, they beat them, and they took me outside. I left the house. I don't know what's happening there. I don't know what happened with my children, with my brother, with my little girl. She just tried to tell me, "I love you." So I told her, "I love you too." It was the last words that I spoke. After that, I found myself on a battle of like 10 soldiers, or I don't know, 15 or 20, beating me till they reach me the close area near the camp, near the wall, with inside a military basement, and they brought me a doctor. The doctor started speaking with me. So after like half minute, he lifted me, and they threw me inside a vehicle, a military vehicle. The way to go inside the vehicle was through my body. All the soldiers who entered into this vehicle, they went through my body, walking on my body. This was just the beginning. Going through this journey, you have they took me from this vehicle after like 10 minutes, putting me in a small car. I don't know why. The car went like half an hour. I don't know where.
You were blindfolded?
I was blinded. Yes,
Right.
they
Blindfolded
took me
and handcuffed.
and handcuffed, not on front, on my back. So I don't know where they took me, but two commanders came near me, and they start speaking, or soldiers, I don't know, that today we are sending two buses to Gaza. So I heard them. I know Hebron very well. So after like half an hour or 1 hour, I don't know, other soldiers came, and with one of the commander, they took off the piece that they put into my face, and he told me that now I will make your wish or your dream a fact. So I don't know. So he told me, "I will make you shaheed, a martyr." So I told him, "No, it's not my wish. I don't want to be a martyr. It's not my wish at all. My wish to live free." So he said, "No, I will make it real. So we will send you today to Gaza." Wow. I start, drawing what will happen for me there. If they will shoot me on the back, or they will send a missile, or I don't know. So I was waiting to go to Gaza. After like 2 hours in that car, every one used to come beating me
Two
inside the car.
hours. Two
Yeah,
hours.
in that
They were
car.
driving you for 2 hours.
No, they. I was
So
inside the car.
just to give
Inside.
people kind of a graphic context, so Aida Camp is adjacent to the city of Bethlehem, and it's right next to the wall. Jerusalem is 10-minute, 15-minute drive. So if they wanted to take you to an army base or police station or interrogation station near Jerusalem, that would have been 15 minutes. To go to Gaza is about 2 hour drive. So
Yes,
you're in the car for 2 hours.
at the end they didn't took me to Gaza. They took me to a military basement near Bethlehem. It's like, as you said, 10 minutes you have to be there.
Yeah.
So it was a kind of playing with me.
Yeah,
Try,
mental,
yeah,
yeah.
I find myself there.
Psychological.
Yeah, psychologically they want to broke us. I find myself in Gosh Etzion military basement. And here there were another party that they started with me. I have to be naked. a journalist asked me if they did sexual abuse or not. So I was So I my reply was to tell this story about this party, how they forced me to take off all my clothes. I try not because I'm shy. I could not be in a short. This is the first time that someone can saw me naked. So they took everything. I have the last thing was the underwear. So they said, "No, we want to make the party now. Take off your underwear." So my face was on the wall. At the end, I try not, but they beaten me on my leg. So I did it. And after that, I have to do some things, raising my leg, coming down. And one of the times they beating me, I fall down on the ground. And imagine how two guards or two soldiers would come, because I was at the end, they handcuffed me again. So they have to take me, help me to stand. How, while you are naked, they will take you and to let you stand up. It was humiliating
So you're just
me.
in a room with a hole with a group of
Yeah,
soldiers
with a group of
doing it.
soldiers. I don't know if they, because they said they will take pictures, they will do a video. I don't know if I will discover a video for me while I was naked,
And they called
going
it a party.
up and down.
They called it a party. They called it
Yeah,
a
they
party.
call it party. It was, they said, let's bona se at Saga. I think Atsaga is a party in Hebrew.
Like a show, yeah, a
Yeah,
performance.
like a show. So, and take some videos. Yes, I did it. They
So they're
forced me to
speaking to
do
you. They're
this.
speaking to you in Hebrew all the time.
Yes. So we did it. I did it. For me, it was the one of the most bad moments. Taking me back to the, there were like 12 rooms in Gosh Etzion. It's a temporary place for, I was there for 3 days, but the other things that I saw there or I participated there, they just, when they brought for us the food, they used to throw the food in like four corners and open all the cells. And we were like cats going to eat. We have to sit down on the floor, taking our food from like each like six people in one plate, eating something that you would not, I don't know what is it. They used to collect all the food that they brought after the soldiers ate and mix it together, putting it on a blender and throwing it for us with a lot of salt. I tried to
That was
eat.
the food. So that was the food they gave you.
Yeah, they gave us in Gosh Etzion. This was just the beginning, and I assume it was good, better than I reach at the end. So after that, for the interview, they start asking me about my activities, and you are with Hamas. I told them, no way. I'm supporting the 7th of October. I told them clearly, I'm against the killing of the people, and I'm standing like any other Israeli that stand with his people. I'm standing with my people. I don't want my people to be killed in this way. Thousands of Palestinians are killed. The only thing that I did, I raised my voice to stop killing my people, to seize. I raise my voice with ceasefire now. I don't want the people to be killed more and more. So this is what, this was my, because of that I was guilty, because I was trying to stand with the people in the West Bank that have been suffering from the settlers and the settlements from Ben-Gvir and his group. This is what I was trying to do, arranging demonstrations to stand with the people in Masafer Yatta and in the South Hebron, in the South Hebron Hills, and in the Jordan Valley, in east of Ramallah. Yes, I was there, but
And
it is
just to
my right to
clarify,
be. with
Just to
my people.
clarify, you mentioned Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir is a well-known violent racist thug settler from Hebron, and he well not from Hebron but in a settlement in Hebron, and now he is the minister of national security, which includes the police, which includes the prisons. So the prisons,
Yeah,
all the
under his
policies in the
control.
prison are under his control, and he is a maniac, cruel person that doesn't have any borders, any boundaries to his cruelty and
Yeah,
hatred.
yeah.
And he is in
Try
charge
to,
of prisons, and
yeah.
he's in charge of the Palestinian prisoners.
I try to tell them that I'm a human rights defender, so it's my right to defend my people. So they took me again. We went to Ofar prison. The worst thing that I saw was when I entered into Ofar prison. Usually the
You've
people,
been to Ofer before. This is
yes. Yeah,
how many
before I
times have you
was
been?
there.
How many times have
I
you been arrested in the?
many many times in Ofar, many times.
How many
But
times? Do you remember how many times
I
you've been
spent
arrested?
like 4 times. It was the four big times, like 4 months, 6 months. I was like 7 or 8 times in Ofar. So, but this time was something else. We used to go inside Ofar, handcuffed, yes. But this time I have to walk, not on my legs, and my hands, and just raising trying to stand up. You will be beating your head with a
Excuse me, wait
stick.
a minute. Excuse me, just a minute. So, just to remind the listeners, if you're just joining, this is the Mikko Pellet Hour. I'm your host, Mikko Pellet, and I'm speaking to Munder Amir, a Palestinian human rights defender from Aida refugee camp near Bethlehem. And he was just released from 3 months arrest with no charge. And he's describing the horrific conditions. So you're saying you had to enter Ofer prison, and Ofer prison is a big, it's like a big, it's this big structure that was built for Palestinian prisoners. There's and
Not
so you said you had to enter your
walking on
hands and
your
knees.
legs, in four like the animals,
You had to
your
walk
hands
on your
and
hands and
legs.
knees.
Yes,
You
this
had to
I
crawl.
saw it before. It was happened when Ben-Gvir visited the Ofer prison. I said maybe it's like a movie. They did it because they want to threat us. I find it as a fact there that when you are moving from one section to other section, you have to go on four. When they will beat you, you have to go on your legs and hands. So you have to normalize yourself walking on four there. So it is humiliating,
So
like the
just to make yeah,
animals.
I'm going to repeat what you said. So to enter Ofer prison now and to move around the prison, the prisoners, by the way, none of these prisoners are criminals. We're talking, not that it matters, but these are human rights defenders and political prisoners. And you have to walk on your hands and knees. You have to crawl everywhere. You're not allowed to walk. I think people need to hear this and take a minute to let it sink. This is not something that we can just, I think, say and move on. I think this is a level of torture and humiliation that people need to hear about. And is there anybody visiting from the UN, from human rights? I mean,
No,
are there
no, no,
any supervision,
no, no,
anything at
no.
all from the international, any international bodies that protects prisoners? Nothing.
You know, in the Israeli jails, we got our rights, not because they are good, the Israeli government, this fascist government. We got our rights through very long hunger strikes.
You mean
We lost,
in the past?
we passed through, we lost many people have been killed or died through these hunger strikes till we have like the amount of food we had, like our books, our pencils, even our sheshbesh or the chest. So it was not easy to reach this place and to have a life inside prison. Now, if you enter into prison, I would tell you, it is just looks like the prison during the Ottoman Empire or during the British Mandate. And worse, because you don't have food. The way that the guards dealing with you is in very bad situation. You are separated fully from your community. You don't know any kind of news about your the people. For myself, for the 1.5 yeah, half of the like 1.5 month, I don't know what happened with my family. Till I was very lucky, I had a good lawyer who fighted to come and visit me. Like, not every prisoner have this chance to have this kind of visit, like one from
So,
each 100.
the prisoners, how long was, so the prisoners are not allowed to see their lawyers. How long before you saw your lawyer?
1.5 month.
1.5 months before you were able to see
Yes.
an attorney.
Yeah.
And who's your lawyer, by the way?
Riham Saada, she's one of the best lawyers here in Palestine. That she was my little angel. She was the one that remind me that I am a human, that I have a family, that my family is safe. Yeah, when I saw her and she started speaking, you could not imagine. It was the best moments in my life that I know Muhammad,
Six
my
weeks.
little,
Oh my God. And how
my
long did you have time to talk to her? How much time?
1.5 month, like say 6 weeks.
And then
That
for how long?
the first time that I knew that Muhammad is safe. Yes, they have beaten him, but and they cut his t-shirt, but at the end he's home safe because Muhammad was arrested before. So I was afraid that they would arrest him again. Muhammad, 13 years old. I knew that my wife is okay, that she's with the family. My brother is alive because I thought when he lost conscious, I thought that that's it, he's dead. So it was very hard time.
How much time did you have with the lawyer? Was it an hour, 15
It
minutes?
was no less, it was like 20 minutes. You could not have any more. And till to have you have to ask about your family. You have to ask about Gaza and what is happening in Gaza, and you want to know what is going on the court. If they agree to make less days, less months, or they would accept to go to the court. So it's complicated, the things that you have to know from the lawyer. And all the people in your section, 218 people, was waiting for you to know what is going outside.
So the other
If
prisoners didn't have a lawyer, didn't have a lawyer visit them.
like we were 215, like each week we have like one or two would have a visit of a lawyer. So there are people that since the beginning of the war, they don't know anything about their families, and their families don't know about them. So in Ofer, it's a cemetery. You know that the people have how many prisoners have to be in Ofer? We used to have that, you have just 1,200 people have to be in Ofer. Now they have 2,500 prisoners in Ofer. Imagine that the room that I was in and the cell that I was in, it was four or five people. Now there are 13 people in the same cell.
How big is the cell?
It is like 16 meters square. More like maybe it's
So
20 meters square, maybe 20 meters square. Yes, 20 meters square.
where do people sleep? On the floor? Do they have beds, a mattress?
Where we used to have two, six beds, the others for six people, the others have to sleep on the ground with cleaning the cell is one of the obstacles there, that they would give you something to clean the cell each 4 or 5 months, 5 days. I can tell you about the daily life there, in how the food is there. Like, imagine the amount that they will give us from the jam. Like a little boy would not accept them. It was for 13 people. The rice, like for four people, it could not be for just one person. The amount of food, you know, at the end, what we decided to do, to go for fasting, because you will have one meal, collecting the three meals for one meal, you know, to feel that you are eating. I lost 33 kilos in 3 months. It was crazy, the amount and the quality. Imagine they send us one time, they send us eggs. They did not cook them. It was not cooked. So we tried to tell them it's not cooked. Change or cook or do something. They enter into our cell and they beaten us. There is a unit called the unit of offer, cater offer. They are ready 24 hours. Any kind of asking for your rights, you will be beaten. The unit will come and they will attack you. So this is offer. They attacked us inside this cell four times. Imagine. One every time for something else. Imagine we try to do, we have a Palestinian play called Sheish Besh.
Yeah, backgammon.
Yeah.
Backgammon, yes.
I was lucky that I tried to do it. We succeed to do it in a cartoon. So they
you
discovered
made it from cardboard.
Yes.
From cardboard.
And we don't used to have a pen. So we did it. We brought two from the medicine. It was brown medicine for one of the guys. So we brought two pieces of this medicine, and we put it with water. So we draw on the cartoon, and we did it. It was okay. With from the bread, we did the zahar, the pieces, the small pieces. So we succeed to do it. You know, they discovered that we did it. They punished us. Punishing us means that this, the cater, the unit of offer, would come inside your cell, putting you in a corner with two big dogs, beating you, sending you outside to the shower room. There is a shower room in the section. It's a wet one, throwing them handcuffed there and beating you, sending you back. And we said, okay, that's it. We finished. They took it and they punished us. The second day at 6 a.m., they came and they took our mattresses and they took our blankets. We used to have just one mattress and one blanket. They took one for the whole day. They brought them again at 9 o'clock at afternoon. Imagine with this very cold day, with just waiting one, they will send, give us back our mattresses. So I felt guilty. I felt guilty with my friends because I was the one, because of me, they punished them.
So they came in, they come into the cell with dogs.
Yeah, they are coming to the cells, beating us in very aggressive way. The signs of how they are beating us on our heads, here, our backs. It was the yani a part of the heaven that we saw. We were very close every time to be dead, very close. And it wasn't the only time. But I'm trying to tell you the reason.
I just want to say one thing. You said you lost 33 kilos. That's 70 pounds. That's more than 70
yeah.
pounds.
Yeah. So one time, and it did not happen through the history of the prisons, that a Palestinian prisoner would kill himself. So one of the young people could not survive. So he lost his mind. So he decided to throw himself from the fence. So he threw himself. We saw the blood. So what we did, knocking on the door, trying to tell the guards that there is someone who's dying. You have to come to bring a doctor.
Right, so he tried to climb the fence of
Yes,
all
and threw
prison
himself.
and
Yeah,
gun.
jumping from there. So trying to knock the doors, telling them to bring a doctor, it was a big mistake, very big one. They left him bleeding, and they came into our cell because we knocked the door, because we were room number two, we were very close to the guard's room. So they came inside, making the same party, beating us with the dog, but it was the biggest time. Imagine that one of the young people who tried to see the dog, he just trying to see the dog. The dog knocked him on his face, losing conscious for 2 days. He was conscious, but he don't know what's happening around him for 2 days, asking what happened with me. After 2 days,
A
he
dog
started.
hit him. The dog jumped on
Yeah,
him.
the dog jumped on his face. So other one broke his nose. The blood was on the ground. For us, they threw us outside the cell. So one of
Hang there.
the
I need to stop you for just a moment. We need to take a break.
yeah, we
And
will come. Yeah,
we'll be
yeah.
right back. We'll be right back with more from Munder Amira
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Palestine. Just a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome
Again,
back.
for
This is Mikko Peled. This is the Mikko Peled Hour. I'm Mikko Peled, your host. I'm speaking to Munder Amira. He's describing the torture and the treatment in jail. He was just released from an Israeli occupation prison, having spent 3 months in what he describes as a human cemetery, a human grave. And you were just describing how they came in and beat you in the cell and then took you out
yeah.
only because they found out you told them that there was somebody who.
Knocking the door, telling them that somebody is dying there.
Okay, go ahead, please
Threw
continue.
himself, you know, sending they threw us on the open yard in front of the cells, all the cells. We have 20 cells there, and they put us like on each other's, like 13 people on a comb hick. So I tried to be on the ground trying, because I was 108 kilos. So I don't want to be heavy on someone else. I threw myself on the ground. I found someone who put his leg on my head, putting a stake on my back, on my head, going through my back till he reached between my legs. And he knocked it between my legs. I was lucky that I moved myself. It was the most or the hardest minutes for me. I was trying to tell myself I survived. He did not broke something there. My heart start knocking. I have a problem with my heart. I'm a blood. I have
Blood
high
pressure.
blood pressure. So my heart start knocking the ground. I was on the ground, trying to convince myself, Alhamdulillah, I'm good. I'm good. So this is how they are dealing with us. This is the harassment that they are, you know, beating us. It was all the time they were beating us. I have been beaten since 40 years, trying to raise my voice, fighting for my people. If I was in prison in 1987, yes, I accept to be part of, but I could not imagine that such thing would happen with me in such aggressive way, humiliating us. It is a crazy thing that is happening there. And again, if I would tell you, it was the first time that I hear that some Palestinian political prisoner would kill himself. We are fighting for life. We are not fighting for to be dead. I would accept to be killed from the soldiers, but I will not kill myself, whatever would happen. I don't want to kill myself because, but it happens now. The people lost hope. Mahmoud Darwish usually said about the Palestinians, especially like the prisoners raising hope. We are raising hope. This is the Palestinian prisoners. Their duty is to raise hope, not to kill themselves. But this time was because of this, what they are doing with us psychologically and mentally and, physically. This is the harassment. This is what they are doing with us. It was the thing that we did, that we are supporting our Palestinian right of living in Gaza. I will tell you something important. The people of Gaza, the genocide there in Gaza is happening, and it breaks our hearts. We are trying to do always something for them, and we are ready to pay the hard price of them, for them, to tell the people to stop the war there. What we want, as I told you at the beginning, we want ceasefire. We want to stop this crazy war against the people in Gaza. But I will tell you, at least the people of Gaza have been killed. All the people knows about the genocide in Gaza. But there is another genocide is happening inside the Israeli jails here in Palestine. They are under very hard conditions. They have been killed 5 times a day, and it is a continuous death that they are passing. Yes, they are not dead, but they are killed every day, every single moment. Losing hope is something. It's not just beating us. Beating us, khalas, I'm out of prison now. Khalas, it's happened. But killing our souls, they are killing our souls. They want us to be criminals, and we don't want.
And the Red Cross and the UN and the
We don't
NGOs.
have any kind of international organization going there. This is the big thing that is happening. We are alone.
How is it that the
What?
Red Cross, how do the Israelis manage to keep the Red Cross
They
out?
just refusing even a visit of a Red Cross. They are not doing anything for us actually, but they are at least coming to visit. You are feeling safe, but we now our prisoners are not feeling safe. They are losing their minds. I will tell you, my heavy duty was trying not to lose my mind. I don't want to lose my life. I'm ready to be killed. Okay, I would accept, but I could not accept to lose my mind by the things that they used to do with us. And it is a systematic way to break us.
And they're getting away with it because the world is watching Gaza and the genocide taking place there. So
Yes,
nobody's paying attention to what you're describing, which is
this is
happening.
what is happening. Yes, as I told you, we were in prison because of Gaza, yes. But the idea that the people now knows about Gaza, we have to spread all over that this occupation is killing our people in Gaza. But in the same time, I would tell you, we have another duty to tell the whole world what is happening inside the Israeli jails, please. I left people there, left young people. They are losing not just their weight. They are not just bleeding there because they have been beaten. They are losing their minds. They are losing hope. The thing that we, our duty was to raise. The only thing that I could not understand or I could not accept that before it, for me, I was very, very, very angry that a Palestinian political prisoner is killing himself, I refuse. So the thing that we have, I think we have to accept that we have good people there, that it was not just one have to kill himself. I think all of us would kill ourselves if we were weak. We are not weak. We are fighters. We are human rights defenders. We are Palestinians. We are fighting for life. Because of that, we are not killing ourselves. But yes, we have people who could not survive. They lost their mind and they took a decision to kill themselves.
How many prisoners are there now
In
altogether?
Afar, imagine in Afar prison, it have to be like 1,200. There are 2,500, but in general, in the Israeli jails, we have 10,000
10,000.
prisoners without the number of Gaza, because the prisoners in Gaza is much, much more than I think 2,000, but nobody knows their names. Nobody knows where are they. The last news that we got that 25 of them have been killed during the torture. We don't know. We used to have two sections where I was. One section for Gaza. You know, during the night, we used to hear them crying, crying. Imagine that they want to do like the dogs, ow, ow, ow. I don't know what we call it, this voice. They want them to start screaming, "Am Israel Hai."
This is now.
Yes, this is now. I hear, you know, when are they the prisoners told me about, I said, "No, it's Yani, you are exaggerating." But when I heard this by my ears, I could not accept that. I
So
could
the
not,
guards are making the
yeah,
prisoners
making
from
them
Gaza
do
do
that.
these things.
Yes. Yes.
The fact that none of the NGOs, nobody from the international community, because again, Israel is using the fact that there's so much attention given to Gaza now, as there should be, but they can't ignore the fact that all these other human rights abuses are taking place. These are war crimes. These are crimes against humanity, what you're describing.
Yes. You know, I'm too simple. I could not speak about the human run crimes or crimes against humanity, but I would tell you that they rape women from Gaza through their arrests. And we are very close to have new stories about.
What do you mean?
So the stories would come out very soon from the sections that the prisoners of Gaza is living there. So, and we have even when we are speaking about the leadership
This is my son Omar.
mashallah,
He's Omar.
when we are speaking about the prisoners, it's a disaster, disaster. I couldn't.
This is Nuni and Omar. They came to say hi to you. Come say hi.
Hi, how are you? Marhaba.
He's in Palestine. Say hi to him.
Yes.
He's in Palestine.
Jonathan, احكي مع أبو حسن.
Guys, I need to. I'm almost finished. No, you can't
Yeah.
touch. 10.
No.
Yes, I need to
Nine.
finish. Go. Yalla, go. Say bye. Bye. I'm on there.
Bye.
Sammy. Thank you. I like it. So you're saying
So,
the stories
yeah,
come out
would
eventually about
come
what is
out.
happening.
I would tell you about someone, blind man, and on a wheelchair. Why they are arresting him, I don't know. They brought him to our section by a mistake. He's from Gaza. Like very soon they took him away, taking him to Gaza, to
So they're
the other
taking people from Gaza
section.
to Ofer?
Yes,
Ofer is in the West Bank, so it's just.
There were in we have like each two sections together. I was in 24, the section of Gaza was 23. So the same administration there. So they used to come to Gaza and coming playing with us in the West Bank in our section. So yani, the situation is very hard. But I would tell you something important. They could not broke us. We decide to fight for freedom, and we will continue fighting for our freedom with all the free people all over the world, in the US, in Europe, in Canada, in the Arab world. So here in Palestine, it's our duty to tell the people how much this occupation is ugly, how much they are terrorists, how much they are fascists, how much they are Zionists. So we have to stop them. We have together, alone as Palestinians, we could not do it. Let's do it together to live free. All the people have to live free. We are not asking for just for the freedom of Palestinians, for all the people. We don't want even the Israelis to be killed, not just the Palestinians. We are not with the, we, I would tell you for myself, I'm a non-violent activist. They put me in a place that I am guilty, that I am part of the Tanzim. Tanzim means that I'm part of the armed resistance, which was very wrong.
Many people know you, and everybody that's been an activist has been to Aida and met you, so many people. What's happening in Aida? How's the situation in Aida camp?
It is very hard. Now we have, I left 49 young people there inside prison from Aida,
49 from
attacking the camp with the tear gas is continuous thing that happening there every day, raiding the camp. I'm always worried about my kids there. I could not feel safe there, not for myself. I'm ready for an to spend another 6 months in the Israeli jails, but I don't want my children to be there, and it can be happened every single moment. So this is our life there.
What about work? Or can people work? Are people
The economical situation is the hardest
situation?
thing that I could tell you, that the worker who's working in the Palestinian Authority, the employees, they have just 60% from their salaries. The workers which used to work inside Israel, they stop working there. So the cycle, the economical cycle is dropped there. It's losing everything. The economical life, especially Ramadan is coming, is very hard. It is much, much harder than you can imagine. But
Ramadan
I
is usually a
survived.
very Ramadan night, or in
Yes,
everybody's
yes.
always
So
usually
during
happy.
Ramadan it is not just because of the economical situation. Every day we can see the blood of our people in Gaza. We are waiting when our blood will be in the ground here. Nobody feeling safe in Palestine, not in Gaza, not in Jenin, not in Tulkarem, not in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem. We are not feeling safe. We are afraid from the future. But as I told you, even we are afraid, we are fighting for our future because we want our future to be better. We want our life to be better. This is the thing that the people have to know. We are not terrorists. We are not people who want to see the blood of others. We are the people who are fighting for life, not for death.
So what happened after 3 months? They just told you that you are going to be released?
No, even with this, they tried to play with me.
What
They
happened?
tortured me with that. They told me that I'm going for another section, which called Section 19. I passed through the section, so they told me, no, we are taking you for another prison. So when I reached the Makhlul, the Makhlul is the center of the prison, I saw the cater of Naqab. The unit of Naqab coming to take prisoners, and they are very big people, bigger than the people in the cater of offer.
Well, the
So,
cater is kind of this like a military unit.
yeah, military unit. So I start telling my teeth, "Oh, bye bye," because they used to you know to hit the people in their faces, so they dropped your teeth. So I said, "That's it. Today,
They break people's teeth. They're known for it.
I will have the biggest party." So I find myself that no, I'm going to be released. For the last moment, they are starting to play, trying playing with us, even not telling us that we will be released.
And then they just took you out and
Throwing us outside to Betunia. You have to sign for an agreement not to speak about, not to take picture, not to. For me, from the first moment, I have this responsibility to raise their voice, to tell the people the truth, how they are humiliated, how they are tortured, how they are treated, how they are eating. So this, for me, it's my big duty.
So not only are people in jail, which is punishment enough for nothing, for really for not for doing anything, but on top of that, inside the prison, there's torture. And you keep referring to this Keter unit, to this strange militarized unit that is charged to beating up and torturing. You said they are known for breaking people's teeth. You were expecting to lose all
Yes,
teeth.
yes. I told my teeth goodbye. Khalas. This is the last time that I can feel you. But alhamdulillah, I was released.
That's what they do to others.
Yes. Yes.
And this is part of the prisoner's life. It's people don't
Yeah.
even, but it's just
Yeah.
part of a prisoner's life, and there's nobody standing up for it, and there's nobody saying anything about it, and the Red Cross is ignoring it. And this is the life of Palestinians. Somebody's going to break all your teeth, and this is just there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the reality to accept.
To reach our freedom, you have to go through this miserable life.
Well, this document that you sent, I'll post it and share it. It's very important. People need to hear this, because I think you're it's a message that's not spoken. Of course, you know, like we said, Gaza is getting
It's bigger. It's the biggest pain for us, yes. But even though we have 10,000 people is suffering, is tortured people.
And the families are being tortured. And
their families, you
the
could not
communities.
imagine. Yeah, they don't know anything about them.
So
You know, they don't.
everybody is living under terror, really.
Yes,
terror,
yes.
Fear
This
and
is
terror.
The real terror. Yes, it's the real terror.
And there's no work, very little work, and the economic situation is severe.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, it's a life of terror, not only in Gaza, it's a life of terror throughout all of Palestine, really.
Yeah, all of Palestine, yes, yeah. The people thought that the genocide just in Gaza, the genocide is all over Palestine.
Let me ask you one last thing. Like I said, you know, in the past, at least, so many activists have come through AIDA. I have met you, talked to you. You mentioned somebody's coming. Is there any, are you getting any kind of support, any kind of communication with groups within, like Israeli groups and Israeli NGOs,
Yes,
Israeli human rights?
yes, yes,
What's
yes.
happening?
I would tell you the only thing that I had, or the thing that give me this strength that I'm ready to go back for this hard place. I know I would, because the things that I'm doing, I may be there again. This support from so many international organizations. I will not tell you which organization, because I'm afraid that I will tell five and I will forget four. No. So many activists all over the world, in US, in France, in Spain, in Italy, in all over Europe, in
What are
Canada.
they doing? What kind of support are they doing?
They use to release to make press releases. So many meetings I did with them, speaking about the situation in the Israeli jails. They send when I was in the Israeli jail, they used to send messages to the government of the occupation, to the Shabazz. The Shabazz is the unit which run the prisons. A lot of my friends from the Israeli side, that the fighters, the real fighters, I would tell you, they came on front of Ofer prison demonstrating. For me, this is the life, that there are people caring about our people. They would tell the real story for their families, for their organizations, for their communities. This is the real struggle that we are trying to do, to be together. And from the early beginning, we said we want peace and justice for all. It is not an idea to have peace and justice just for us as Palestinians. It is for all. We want to live in peace. This is the simple thing that we want.
Well, Munder, I have to tell you, there are millions and millions of people who are standing with you and with the Palestinian people.
Thank you. Thank
I
you.
just heard something that Ilan Pape, who is a friend, said. Somebody just posted. He said, as a historian, he said the historians will look back at this time and see the signs of the end of this
Exactly.
reality in Palestine, because this is what, at the end, is always the worst. When regimes, when dark regimes are about to fall, they become the most cruel. And he said it with some real kind of a sense of being sure that these are all the signs that this is an end. So, the end of Palestinian suffering hopefully will be very soon, and your suffering and your work. And
I
thank
hope
you.
so.
I can't tell you how much I love you and appreciate you
Thank you,
and think
Habibi.
about you and everybody else. And thank you so much for your time.
Shukran. Thank
Thank
you.
you so much.
Shukran. Shukran
I got this gift here that behind me that you have.
kthir,
It's here. Where is it? I keep seeing it right
Habibi.
there. So I
Yes,
cherished that
yes.
many years ago. And again, if you're just joining us, this is the Mikko Peled Hour. I'm Mikko Peled. I've been speaking to Munder Amire, who was just released from Israeli jail. He's in Palestine. If there's anything else you want to add, Munder, before we go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As I told you, even I spoke about a lot of pain, but we will continue our struggle. This is the thing that I want the people to know. It's not easy to break us.
No, and we will be there with you. Thank you again so much.
You are welcome, Habibi.
As-salamu. Bye-bye.
Salamat, 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 salamat.